Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is the Space Brothers. And we're going to start with an article from Benjamin Cram's Master that was first published in the May 2004 issue of the magazine, and the latest publication was in the July-August 2023 issue. The title of the article is The Path to the Sun. It is often to be observed that people do not always believe the evidence of their own eyes. Hence, the rejection of many experiences which would have been valuable to them as they search for meaning and purpose in their lives. It is common, for example, that many disbelieve that they have seen a UFO, as they are generally known, when all evidence shows otherwise. People are loath to embrace the new and unknown, however much to do so might be to their benefit. In this way, they inhibit their awareness and growth. For many years now, the craft emerging from our sister planets have roamed our skies, done immeasurable service on our behalf, and from time to time given ample and inspiring evidence of their reality and presence. In ones and twos and untold numbers, they have worked selflessly to mitigate within the karmic law the harmful results of our foolishness and ignorance. Many on Earth have seen them, have stood in awe and wonder at their obvious mastery of space, and fearful of ridicule, kept silence. Thus the knowledge of their reality and the grateful understanding of their purpose has been lost to men. Why should this be so? Why should men reject that which is most to their betterment to accept and understand? There are several reasons why men behave so unreasonably in this way. Chief among them is fear. The great numbing fear of possible destruction lies deep within the human psyche, ready to rise and condition all reactions, all spontaneous gestures of hope and wonder. It has, alas, always been so for many. The governments and the media of most countries have failed in their duty to educate and enlighten the masses. Much is known by many governmental agencies and withheld from the public. Above all, the harmlessness of the UFO, even when known, is never affirmed. On the contrary, everything concerning them, while wrapped in vague mystery, is presented as threat. People in positions of power and control know that if their people knew the true nature of the UFO phenomenon, and understood them to be envoys from civilizations far ahead of ours, they would no longer accept, passive and mute, the conditions of life on Earth. They would demand that their leaders invite these aerial guests to land openly and to teach us how to live and achieve in the same fashion. The time is not far off when this will be the case. The time is coming when the true nature of life on planets other than Earth will become common knowledge. When men will begin to think of the solar system as an interrelated whole, the planets at various points in evolution, but all working together to fulfill the plan of the solar logos and to help and sustain each other on the way. Now we're going to hear an article. It's a book review by a group member in the US called Cher Gilmore. And this is also from the July-August issue. The title is UFO of God, the extraordinary true story of Chris Bledsoe. Dozens of books about UFOs have been written, some quite sensational, others purporting to provide evidence, still others a historical record. But the recently published book by Chris Bledsoe, a rural North Carolina family man, is none of these. UFO of God is a description of Chris's rare and remarkable years-long personal experiences with what he calls the phenomena. The experiences began on the 8th of January 2007 when Chris, his eldest son Junior, and three fellow construction worker friends decided to celebrate a successfully completed home framing job with an evening fishing trip to the Cape Fear River. While the others were fishing, Chris took a walk and in a clearing encountered what looked like two gigantic reddish-orange suns hovering above the ground. They were completely silent, about 200 yards directly ahead, and he panicked, not knowing what to do. The instant he decided to run back to the river to join the others, a third sun appeared, and the next thing he knew, he was 50 yards from the campfire they'd built, running toward it. More than 4 hours had passed since he'd left the river, his friends told him, though it seemed to him like no more than 20 minutes, and his son, still missing, had gone looking for him. When Chris finally found him deep in a thicket, Junior described having seen two red lights about the size of bowling balls preceding him on the path. Suddenly, they came toward him at speed, and he jumped into the brush to hide. He could then see they were two little entities, glowing with fiery red eyes, but he couldn't scream and was unable to move, paralysed. They seemed to be guarding him. Back at the campfire, the show continued. Nine balls of light appeared above the men and gathered in a circle, which first rotated and then scattered. Three of them began to flash and descended into the woods just across the river. These were the same size as the huge suns he had seen in the clearing, so about 45 feet wide, but were pulsating with a brilliant white and electric blue light. The men were now completely spooked and, leaving their fishing gear at the river, took off as fast as they could towards Chris's truck to escape. On the drive home, they saw a huge black rectangular object with what appeared to be glowing windows down the side, hovering above the power lines. Then, when Chris and Junior got home and Chris responded to his dog's frantic barking, he came face to face in his backyard with a 3.5 foot tall being, gently glowing the colour of the moon, two red eyes. A glassy, translucent triangle was fixed on his chest. He was cornered and surrendered. The being began to respond. "You don't understand. We are not here to hurt you. We are here to help you." But instantly disappeared when one of the dogs ran up, barking furiously. After a couple of days, the two entities met Chris again in his yard, and they communicated to him the singular, ultimate importance of all living beings. It was a thought and a philosophy as much as it was sweeping emotion. He felt this was the message the beings had been trying to convey with such determination. He writes, "This understanding remains at the core of who I am. I never squash a bug. I never fish or hunt. Through all my trials since, this belief has guided me, giving me the hope and courage I have needed to carry on. These experiences were only the beginning of years punctuated by frequent visits from orbs of light, miraculous healings facilitated by the orbs through Chris, his own healing from a debilitating chronic illness, and additional strange manifestations, including a life-changing appearance of the lady, as he called her. But the lady came later. As soon as he began talking about what he had seen on the 8th of January, as he felt he must, he and his family were ridiculed and completely ostracized by their Pentecostal church community and neighbors, and the children were taunted at school. After many months, his guilt and anger over creating such misery for his family made him vow that he would never speak of the phenomena again. It was at that time that the lady appeared, indicating that he had made an agreement that must be kept. She promised him that if he continued speaking out, she would allow the orbs to be photographed, protect him and his family, and be by his side always. She conveyed the importance of the visitations and said that forces were at work to cast such experiences in a negative light, and that if they were successful, humanity would be on a path to ruin. His job was to counteract these lies by telling humanity of the phenomena's benevolence, and the first step was simply to acknowledge what he saw. Chris accepted the burden. From that day on, his fortunes changed, and as he reached out with his story beyond his community, he was rewarded with a string of high-profile visitors interested in learning more, from the CIA, NASA, and MUFON, to several academics. Although they had come prepared to probe and potentially debunk his story, all wound up convinced of its authenticity. Most witnessed the orbs for themselves, and some became lifelong friends. He continues to share his story today in interviews, talks, and podcasts whenever and wherever he has the opportunity. The basic message is, we are not alone. The phenomena often appear when you're in the depths of despair. Their purpose is only to help, though that may take unusual forms. They communicate with us telepathically and via symbols, and they are in charge, as he puts it. Readers of this magazine, Share International, and students of the Ageless Wisdom and spirituality in general will no doubt resonate with many aspects of Chris's experiences with the phenomena. For example, although for Catholics, the lady often represents Mary, the mother of Jesus, she could also be seen as the Divine Mother or the Mother of the World, as depicted in one of Nicholas Roerich's paintings. The fact that Chris was told he had agreed to his mission implies that we plan our lives prior to incarnation, or perhaps incarnate for a specific purpose in a particular lifetime. It also suggests our soul's existence beyond the limits of the body. The teaching of the beings that all living creatures are sacred is a basic tenet of the Ageless Wisdom, since everything in creation is interconnected, alive, and interdependent. Each part is an indispensable piece of the whole, to be cherished and cared for. The fact that a spiritual kingdom exists above the human is another element of the Ageless Wisdom illustrated here. And that under the right circumstances, we can communicate with beings in that kingdom. Chris doesn't know who the beings are or where the orbs originate, but he firmly believes they are spiritual phenomena that have only a benevolent purpose based on his personal experience of them. Could they be extraterrestrials? The orbs are unlike the saucer-like vehicles described by early contactees like George Adamski, but UFOs have since been observed in many different forms, Some like the orbs Chris experiences. Space Brothers have also been described by contactees as being of widely varying heights, some very short. If they are extraterrestrial, the fact that they're here to help us squares with what Benjamin Cram writes in his book titled The Gathering of the Forces of Light, UFOs and Their Spiritual Mission. Cram has also indicated that appearances of UFOs are increasing as we approach the time when we'll finally have to choose between the old ways, business as usual, or the Aquarian values of cooperation, brotherhood and synthesis. Chris also reports that the orbs are appearing to him more and more often, and to others who have experienced them as well. Or perhaps the phenomena are a combination of interventions by Earth's spiritual hierarchy and extraplanetary visitors working with them. Mr. Cram's book indicates that the spiritual hierarchies of all the planets in our solar system work together for the common good. And our planet is now a focus for them, since we're nearing a critical choice point regarding our collective future. The book titled UFO of God begins several chapters with biblical quotes describing angels in ways similar to the phenomena, reflecting Chris's deeply religious background. For example, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. That's Hebrews 1:7. And the appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And that's from Ezekiel 1:13. Chris's dark periods of suffering are reminiscent of the experiences of the biblical Job. Were these trials to test and train him for his task of telling a story that would be frightening to some and a threat to others? Was his childhood experience of getting shot near the heart in a hunting accident and retaining some of the metal pellets in his body part of his soul's plan to make him more sensitive to the vibrations of the phenomena? How was he able to understand the entities when they didn't actually speak? Is this a foreshadowing of humanity's ability to communicate telepathically in the future, as is predicted in the Asia's Wisdom teachings? The book UFO of God raises many questions, but what cannot seriously be questioned is Chris Bledsoe's upright and honest character, his dedication to the truth, his lack of ego and self-interest, and his courage in bringing forth information that challenges a cynical world. These qualities shine through in his interviews as well. The book has been described as compelling, but gripping seems more accurate. It's an eye-opening read that should be circulated widely. So again, the name of the book is UFO of God. Its publisher is Chris Bledsoe. That's spelt Bledsoe. Well, I hope you enjoyed that UFO theme. The issue July-August 2023 actually has a few more articles on that theme. So in a couple of programs' time, we'll dedicate again to that theme. If you'd like more information, we'd definitely recommend you check out the website, share-international.org. And you'll find there listed, among other many other books, the book titled The Gathering of the Forces of Light, UFOs and Their Spiritual Mission. So if you found this interesting, you might want to check out and perhaps order a copy of that book. We do have a couple of free copies available. So if you are the first one to email us with your address, we would be very happy to send you out a copy. Otherwise, did I give you the email address? Probably not. sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you again for listening and wishing you all a lovely week.